Major Jeffrey Prather, host of AMP Media's The Prather Brief, unbelievable, breaks a huge story today that last night at the State of the Union address with Joe Biden, they got pictures of a Chinese drone flying off the coast of Florida. So the balloon that was shot down, that's not the only one in the sky. And apparently, Prather has some tough words for General Milley and the rest of the Biden regime military. That video is going to be playing in a few minutes. In-house, we got Dr. Brian Artis. Brian Artis is going to dive into, the venom peptides again, but also then COVID vaccine miscarriages. Got a fantastic deck on that. And we'll be diving into that very, very deeply because anything COVID is up my alley. And then, of course, we got Corinne. She's back today, and she's going to talk about how many times did Joe Biden lie last night? Every other word or every third word? I'm not sure. I didn't watch it because I didn't want to, pollute my mind. But others did it for me, and so she'll weigh on that. And there's a security fence in Washington, D.C., around the Capitol that was put up a couple days ago. Corinne will also talk about that. So we have a lot of interesting stuff to cover today, as always. Let's unpack these truths on Unrestricted Truths. Let's roll.
This is very important to note that there are still balloons flying. And so take a look at this photo. This was taken by Team America Florida last night. This is you can see the package underneath this balloon off the coast of Florida. This is still happening. The CCP is still doing this. While the so-called State of the Union was going on, this was actually still happening. Of course, now we have heard that the media came out and said, oh, well, there were Trump had balloons flying too. And Trump said, well, I didn't know. And then the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, and I used to stand outside the DNI's office at Bulling Air Force Base quite a bit. I didn't brief him, but I briefed the guys who briefed him, said, well, we didn't know about it. Well, it turns out the military knew about it, but didn't tell Trump. The military did not tell Trump. So this is treason. Trump is president of the United States, POTUS, and he's also the commander in chief, CIC, and the military chain of command should report to them. But who did Milley report to? Milley reported to his Chinese counterpart. So our military is being run by the global cabal and also by the nation state enemy of China. So that is very clear. Then the military ends up saying, and Milley and Mattis ends up saying we didn't want to tell Trump because he was too provocative. So Mattis is called Mad Dog Mattis, of course, Marine Corps general. He's not really, Mattis is actually a very thoughtful guy. But the point is that Milley and Mattis are both sold out to the global cabal and the nation state enemy of China. And are communicating and taking orders from them and not from their commander in chief. They didn't do it under Trump. They concealed it from Trump, and they also didn't do it under Biden as well. And it is still going on as of last night. That is breaking news that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And that's one reason why I'm on American Media Periscope.
Breaking news, exclusive news. Thank you very much, Major Jeffrey Prather. My American Media Periscope colleague, that is terrific coverage. And so while Biden was lying in the Capitol building and Kamala Harris was dressed like it was she was ready for the Hunger Games, we have a drone flying over Florida captured on camera. So great work there, that is for sure. This is James Grunvig, your host for Unrestricted Truths on AmericanMediaPeriscope.com. You can find us on ampnews.us. This show is brought to you by our lead sponsor, Kirk Elliott, PhD, Private Advisors. So whether it's Milley, who I call General Milley, or General Milley, Jeffrey Prather, either or, Milley, Milley, one of those tubas that fit inside a general uniform. That's all I got to say. Speaking of drones, let's go to video number two. That war is picking up pace, isn't it? There was no sound in that video, but that was a drone factory in Latvia that is on fire and won't be able to be used against Russia. Pretty interesting how this all works, right? Get a little intelligence, find the target, hit the target, set it on fire. All those munitions and reconnaissance drones gone. I guess Biden's going to have to send some more drones over to Ukraine again, huh? Interesting. Let's go to view number three, because we're really in a war against NATO. And NATO is a Nazi organization, by the way. And to me, it's a virus. And this video in 44 seconds captures the growth of NATO for the last 30 or 40 years. Roll video three. Latvia, that was that little country that was trying to block mainland Russia from Russian port over the Baltic Sea. Remember, they have a 30-year agreement on trains going by, and they were going to get in the middle of it. They were going to get squashed like a bug. So I guess they decided not to do that. But they have a drone factory that's out. And there you see NATO, right? Spreading. Except now you got Belarus, Russia. Eventually, you're definitely going to get Turkey after the HAARP that created the earthquake, probably. Over there, because you didn't have aftershocks. You had at least a dozen earthquakes, magnitude 5, 6, 7. Not aftershocks that are 2 or 3 or maybe a 4. Didn't happen. And you're going to have Hungary and Serbia, so you're going to have the Eastern Bloc versus the corrupt governments in the West, and it's going to be a cleanup operation, and it's going to get real ugly fast, but we need to be free at some point this year. But speaking of predictive programming, we have Moderna CEO. Let's play video four. Apparently, they made 100,000 COVID vaccines in 2019, months before the shamdemic. Let's roll with that video.
And I'm going to go with Stefan Bensel. Let's talk about vaccine development, because we've heard how it happened, obviously, with COVID-19 starting from 2022, and how extraordinary the process was also in terms of the speed. How is development, adoption, and scaling of vaccine going on when it comes for different variants and subvariants? Because this is one of the big concerns as we're all here now, and we're discussing, we understand the context, and this is a great deal.
Sure. Good morning, and thank you for having me on the panel. So the great news versus 2020, where we are today, is we have manufacturing capacity. As Seth knows, when the pandemic happened, Moderna had made 100,000 doses in 2019 for the whole year. And I remember walking after Davos into the office of my head of manufacturing, and I say, how we make 1 billion doses next year? And he look at me a bit funny, say, what? I say, yeah, we need to make 1 billion doses next year. There's going to be a pandemic.
No, that video wasn't doctored. He said next year is going to be a pandemic. They made 100,000 COVID vaccines in 2019. Everyone in the pharma side sees he tried to walk away from that big media, but they've been busted. And people realize how real this is. And now we're starting to see the plan in plandemic. That is what we're seeing. Totally busted. Just incredible. Let's go to image two, because they got more plans apparently. Image two. Oh, that's image one. Excuse me. That's Kamala Harris. Let's bring on Kamala Harris first. Thank you. This is what looks like a mask to me. And it was sent by a very reliable source. And we know Joe Biden shuffling out the White House last night. He was gate was off. It's not the real Joe Biden. So maybe this is not the real Kamala Harris. I don't know, but that is clearly a mask. I don't think this is doctored. So what are we watching, people? Are we watching actors in the lead role in the Capitol building? This is the greatest military COVID operation run by the White Hats of all time. If it's true, I believe it is. Let's bring on Corinne down in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Corinne, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, investigating a very interesting story that I'll tell you about tomorrow, Friday.
Perfect on tomorrow, but, Friday. So did you watch the State of the Union? Because I didn't do that. Go ahead.
Yes. So the State of the Union was very interesting this year. I was there last year, and so I was tracking since Monday. I've been tracking the differences in this year versus last year. So last year, there was American military around. This year, there was no American military. What they actually had was a massive fence. Now, last year, there was a fence, but this year, the fence was massive and was very intimidating, and they started putting it up pretty much on Sunday. It takes 2 or 3 days to put this fence up and take it down. And of course, you know, there's checkpoints in every area, so it was very intimidating. And I was taking a lot of video footage of this that might be going viral by now. I can't really tell. But the bottom line is that, you know, I was stopped by U.S. Capitol Police because I was filming this particular area over here. Can you see that?
We can.
For some reason, you know, the U.S. Capitol Police are usually very respectful to me. For some reason this time, the U.S. Capitol Police were very stressed out. This was Monday, the day before everything. And this particular U.S. Capitol Police officer, he didn't detain me, but he was very specific. And he said, what are you filming? Why are you filming it? Mind you, I'm outside of the fence. I wasn't inside the fence, which I could have tried to walk inside the fence. I was on a public street corner. And for the U.S. Capitol Police, I was surrounded by four of them with the blue helmets. For them to be so uptight the day before the State of the Union is highly bizarre. Now, when you see what happened at the State of the Union yesterday, you see that Bono from U2, I'm sorry, I'm not laughing, it's just kind of funny. Bono from U2 was sitting next to Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband. I mean, that just right there shows you the state of our union.
Yeah, no, Pelosi, Pelosi, the drunk, the lout, the liar. I mean, that's he's confirmed all that. All that's factual. And Bono, deep state Bono, right? So, I mean, it's a great pair. You know, and I guess, you know, I don't know. What are they messaging America? Because I remember the use of, like, Trump would bring on, like, wounded veterans and stuff during his State of the Union and, like, you know, bring America together. We got basically two clowns, one in entertainment and the other one just a total embarrassment to American politics. Paul Pelosi. I mean, it's incredible. Anything left to add to what Kamala or Joe did or said or whatever?
I mean, this is the state of our union. When you have, you know, rock star Bono from U2 sitting next to Paul Pelosi at our State of a Union. And then I put the photos of Paul Pelosi getting attacked in his home in San Francisco. It's just very interesting. It shows you what our priorities have been. We're in the middle of the worst inflation. I can't barely afford to buy eggs for my own daughter. People are suffering. The State of the Union is a mess. And Biden, of course, said so many things that just don't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And Beijing Biden, I heard, had a lot of laughs, at least in TV land. You had Taylor Greene, she's shouting out a liar, right? You know, things like that. All of it very entertaining. Yeah. In the meanwhile, we got Russia's ready to go kick some tail to the West. It's not going to be just Ukraine. They're going after all the Western governments in some form. They're going to dump a lot of information on Hunter and Joe. That's not going to be good for the Biden regime. You have another Chinese drone through Jeffrey Prather's organization or the organization that he knows in Florida saying, you know, all right, so it wasn't just this one-off balloon. We now have, I guess, constant surveillance on America by our military, which what Jeffrey Prather's alluding to, of communist China. I mean, that is an incredible story. And so we're under a threat. We're under a wartime command structure, as John Chambers always said, and we're being experimented on with these bioweapons. And at some point, you know, the rest of America's got to wake up and realize we've been at war for at least 3 years, if not longer. And then you hear the CEO from Moderna, what's he saying? Oh, we've made 100,000 COVID vaccine because we knew a pandemic was coming the next year. Are you kidding me? This is incredible what's happening. Go ahead, Corinne.
So Biden's speech, of course, was all positive about himself and what he's done for the United States. Of course, he said that, you know, he's made millions and millions, 12 million jobs. He says that, you know, he solved the COVID problem. You know, it's just, it's propaganda. And it really makes me feel like we live in a third world country. When I'm outside the U.S. Capitol right before the State of the Union address, and there's massive security, there wasn't military this year, but there was massive security, and the U.S. Capitol police are on high alert, and we have a rock star walking in with Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, as a diversion. But this is the worst thing, okay? Are you ready for this? Brace yourself for this one, James. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen, honestly, in my whole entire life in public with political leaders. In the very beginning, when everyone's walking in and sitting, obviously, Joe Biden's wife, Jill, walks in, and she sits right next to Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, and they kiss.
And they make out.
I mean, it wasn't a full makeout session, but they kissed on the lips. And
no,
they didn't look disgusted.
They actually made
by
out.
It.
I mean, I saw pictures of it. Come on. It's a little more than just a kiss hello.
I would have been disgusted by that and wiped my face. You know, if you ever kissed me like that, James, I'm going to wipe my face and say I apologize to your wife. That was a very serious kiss. And I was shocked. And from then on, it just seemed like a clown show. I mean,
From then on, it went downhill. So let me wrap this up for our audience. Joe Biden is not a ditch digger. You know, those are people that actually put plumbing pipes in the ground, that put, you know, build new houses, infrastructure. No, Joe Biden is a grave digger of his own regime, of the Democrat Party. He's digging a massive grave for him, his son, his regime, his entire legacy, and for the Democrat Party. You heard it here first from Grundvig. This is coming to the end this year. The Democrats are going to be, how would I say this, apoplectic. They are losing credibility everywhere, and I love it. Corinne, thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow on Unrestricted Truths. Let's go to video number 5. This is for Brian Artist. Eggs used in vaccine culture.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet. But there must be some way that we grow vaccines mostly in eggs the way we did in 1947.
In order to make the transition from getting out of the tried and true egg growing, which we know gives us results that can be, you know, beneficial. I mean, we've done well with that, to something that has to be much better. You have to prove that this works, and then you've got to go through all of the clinical trials, phase ones, phase twos, phase three, and then show that this particular product is going to be good over a period of years. That alone, if it works perfectly, is going to take a decade.
There might be a need or even an urgent call for an entity, right, of excitement out there that's completely disruptive, that's not beholden to bureaucratic strings and processes.
So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
But it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that, beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch.
You hear that? You hear what they want to do? They want to beam me up, Scotty. They want to create a sequence from the avian. If you believe that, they're not going out to the field and grabbing a bird and actually getting the genetic sequence. They're going to create a new virus, nothing to do with a bird. They're going to call it avian flu. They're going to send it out to all the centers. They're going to put it on a patch and put it on your arm. That is what they want to do. I guess they're tired of using eggs. But eggs, we learned in the last couple of weeks, besides 100,000 hens being burned to death up in Connecticut, another 75,000 burned in New Zealand last week, we learned that eggs actually interfere with the spike protein spreading process the whole nine yards. No wonder they don't want eggs reaching Americans. It's not just the price, not just inflation. They don't want us well. It's crystal clear. Otherwise, sunlight, vitamin C, vitamin D, and eggs. Good for you. Let's go to my image two here. Real quick, Harvard predicts a global pandemic may be caused by a bioterrorist attack, says Harvard. Of course it is. This is part of the predictive programming. This is what they've been doing for decades. Of course we're going to get a bioterrorist attack. They're going to try to blame it on Russia. I mean, who else can they blame it on? They're not going to blame it on China. China, you know, China feeds a lot of the American institutions and big media and the Biden. They pay off everybody. So they can't blame China. They got to blame Russia. So expect some kind of terrorist attack, whether it's staged or real, and they're going to blame Russia. And if this is carried out, it's going to be American-made, American-sponsored, Fauci-sponsored bioweapons that do the damage, in my opinion. So I'm predicting programming myself a little bit out because I've seen these false flags before. Let's bring on Dr. Brian Artis. Brian, what a world we live in.
What a world. I had no idea eggs were such a big part in a massive scheme to both keep us healthy when we eat them, but they have been using eggs for decades to manufacture vaccines. You know, what's really interesting that I recently learned in the last month or so is that not only were they using chicken eggs to manufacture our vaccines for our children and elderly for the flu season, shingles, you name it, and every childhood vaccine, do you know that there's actually called Chinese snake villages where they harvest millions of snake eggs to harvest and manufacture vaccines for all of us and have been for decades? Did you know they were using serpent eggs to manufacture our vaccines? I bet you none of you knew that. And 80% of all of our vaccines come out of China.
So it's just another venom coincidence, I guess, right? That's very interesting.
Yeah. What's going to happen? Now, what I've learned actually and been shown by an author named Kenneth Spears is that this isn't new. He said the reason why individuals now are actually able to contract bird diseases is because the vaccine agenda all along for many, many decades now has been taking chicken eggs, bird eggs, and harvesting vaccines from their proteins in the eggs of the birds. And when they inject those bird proteins into you as a baby, as a teenager, as an adolescent, as an older person, you're having bird proteins injected into you, and it's going to make you susceptible to things like the bird flu. He said, why do you think at the beginning of COVID, they actually said this is a snake disease or pathology that we are being exposed to? He goes, that's because they've been exposing us and injecting us with snake proteins from the harvesting of eggs in these Chinese snake villages that there's documentaries on online right now. You can watch them where they harvest all these eggs for the vaccine manufacturing world of China, and then they distribute them to the rest of the world to inject inside of us. And I would propose that a lot of the reasons why COVID initially was called, that the origin of this virus, they said, was from two snakes, is because we were now being told in the media, we're now susceptible to snake diseases. And that would be because we've been injected with snake proteins, a lot of us for decades, and had no idea that that was in our vaccines. So yes, eggs play a big part of the vaccine manufacturing world. But that clip you played from 2019, when Anthony Fauci's talking about, you have to take that old world technology we've been using for 60 years. Notice he never said chicken eggs, by the way. He just said eggs. They use eggs, serpent eggs, reptile eggs. They use bird eggs, you name it. But when they just said eggs, that was very specifically why. And when they said it's hard to take that when there might be this avian virus come out of China, we can get the RNA sequence and then blast it out to everybody and create a really, really quickly virus to protect the global threat. What they're stating actually is something they've been proposing for years. I just didn't know it. Did you know, right now, I've sent a presentation to you and your group, and please put the entire presentation and tag it to this video when you send it out and let everybody read over it. Part of that presentation includes a review published in 2017, the same year Donald Trump entered office, when Anthony Fauci went to Georgetown and said, before this presidency is over, they are going to actually encounter a massive global viral threat. They knew it. But in 2017, there's a published paper, and it's all about animal venom peptides, animal venom proteins being used as antiviral drugs and vaccines. To stop, in the paper it says, venom-based vaccines are wonderful and advantageous to viral vaccines because venoms target the same receptors on the cells of humans that all viruses target. So you don't need a flu-specific vaccine from venoms. You just need venoms injected into people, and they propose that venoms will protect the entire humanity, they state. They actually state, the last sentence of the actual 2017 paper is, venom-based vaccines are essential to protect and perpetuate humankind. And they state they will be used in the future to prevent all world pandemics and endemics. So yes, they have been working this out for decades. And in that paper, they propose right now, they publish it, and there's patents that they show in the paper. It's highlighted in the presentation I sent you. They are proposing right now that scorpion venom is a successful vaccine against SARS-CoV-1. Okay, James, do you remember in 2005 when SARS and MERS broke out? Do you remember what was published they found was the solution and cure for SARS-CoV-1 in 2005? Do you remember it?
Wasn't that hydroxychloroquine?
It was hydroxychloroquine. Anthony Fauci and his department published that they found a cure for SARS-CoV-1 in MERS that stopped the whole epidemic in those two locations, Asia and in the Middle East. They published hydroxychloroquine, took care of it. My question for you, James, then would be, why are scientists around the world trying to figure out how to make scorpion venom and its peptides, little bitty proteins of their venom, why are they proposing them to be vaccines to cure SARS-CoV-1? In 2017. Didn't we already find the cure in hydroxychloroquine, which was cheap and not toxic or deadly like a venom? And they even say these venoms are deadly, but can be very therapeutic in illness outbreaks like SARS-CoV-1, like herpes simplex virus. They actually propose a vaccine and a drug made from scorpion venom for fever blisters and cold sores caused by herpes simplex 1 virus. It's just insane. And then in that actual presentation, you will actually see it. If you want to know why I'm concerned about venom inside these shots causing all the horrible side effects you're seeing, in that paper in 2017, it states the first ever component of snake venom called L-amino acid oxidase from a snake. In 2003, it was published that it was and could be and should be designed to be an antiviral vaccine. They published that L-amino acid oxidase from snake venom proposed to be used as an antiviral drug even against HIV. Do you imagine that? HIV? You're sick already.
Wow.
Let's inject you with venom. So weird. But they state that this substance, L-amino acid oxidase, proposed to be an antiviral drug from snake venom. It also inhibits syncytium formation. And you have on the screen right now where it says COVID-19 miscarriages. I need y'all to understand something.
Go ahead, finish your thought. I want to take a break, and then we'll come into your deck. So finish your thought. We'll take a break. Then we're going to get into your deck about miscarriage. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. The key to why these women in every trimester are losing their babies is going to be hinted at one singular cell and enzyme in the human body that keeps a woman's placenta attached to the uterine wall, and that is called syncytium. And everyone should be disgusted and alarmed by what they publish, venom proposed as an antiviral vaccine, what they know it does to syncytium and anybody they inject it into.
I'm with you. So is Dr. Judy Mikovits on that. So is Dr. Christiane Northrup. We're going to take our first commercial break and come right back with Dr. Brian Artis and his great deck on COVID-19. miscarriages.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
Inflation is out of control. The price of gasoline has doubled in a very short time, and interest rates are set to rise. How do you protect and grow your portfolio to make sure that you do not outlive your assets? Invest in annuities that have rate lock. Rate lock is an innovative new feature that allows you to lock in your rate of return at any time during the year to lock in these volatile upswings of the market. And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they're probate free, and they can provide an income that you can't outlive. With all the different companies, features, indexes, and benefits which annuities offer, it can be confusing to choose which annuity is best for your unique situation. Let a company you can trust help you select a rate lock annuity that's right for you. Add an annuity to your retirement portfolio and start enjoying the many benefits that smart investors love. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. The Cleveland Insurance Group, 844-USA-2024.
Here's what you missed at the last Ask the Expert.
I just thought that we could have some time together. I love to have guests, and now you're part of my family. So in a few minutes, you can ask me questions, and we can get to know each other.
You ask the questions. You participate. Next time, interact with Major Jeffrey Prather. Ask the Expert, every Thursday night at 8:30, only on AMP Insider.
Welcome to a new era of connecting patriots, AMP Insider.
Just what I wanted, to be stung by scorpions through a vaccine needle. That's weird.
Yeah, it's so weird when vitamin C and zinc and D will take care of it. Why do we need poisonous venoms? It's kind of like the narrative with cancer, I guess. If you're sick already, let's just intoxicate you with a poison and see if you survive any of it. Why it is we're looking for deadly toxin venom to be a solution to viral infections, I'll never understand. Doesn't make sense.
No, I knew from 2021, a couple of years ago, that the miscarriages in the first 6 months of that year skyrocketed by 87 or 90% or so. But set yourself up about the deck and then dive into it. So when did you start getting interested in the miscarriages portion of the COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, the data on the miscarriages, Dr. Christiana Northrup, you mentioned here, also Judy Mikovits and Dr. Jim Thorpe in Florida, have done a great job of exposing how horrific vaccine-induced, in my opinion, miscarriages are occurring in pregnant women who received the COVID-19 vaccine. From the beginning, it is published, 80%+ of all pregnant women worldwide getting the COVID-19 shots at any point in their pregnancy have resulted in miscarriages. Doesn't matter if it's the first trimester, wow, second, or third, 80%+ of all of them worldwide. Some countries are even higher. Canada at one point reported 90%. So it is a lot. So why I became interested in this was not because of what they were reporting. The data was horrible. What I wasn't seeing was anything in published literature when I came forward with my fears and worries that the disclosed by the creators of the COVID-19 shots, they said, Kathleen Carrico and Drew Wiseman, they post in their research papers to make the COVID-19 mRNA shots, they use snake venom components in their recipe. I hadn't seen anything yet that actually pointed to their knowledge that snake venom components suggested to be antiviral for vaccines actually could cause the miscarriages. I just hadn't seen it yet until I was flying back from Puerto Rico about a month ago, and I had saved an article from 2017. And in the article, I'm going to show you here, they published exactly what Judy Mikovits has been screaming about, syncytium and syncytin, and how the shots are going to cause miscarriages. But I hadn't seen it in any of the research I was looking at. And then when I found it, it has been very exciting for me to take OBGYNs through this presentation you now have. And they have said to my face, they've never seen anything explain the resulting miscarriages better than what I'm about to show you. So when you're looking at the deck, you see all that first slide that was up there, you can put it up there. Syncytium is going to be the key. If you'll put the first slide you had up there, that was slide number two. So syncytium here, you'll see it on the screen. It is a muscle cell. If you want to know what this does, it's a muscle cell that in animals creates skeletal muscle. And it's a classical syncytium cell is what it says. But read the last sentence there. It's kind of small on my screen. But it actually reads, the term may also refer to cells reconnected for specialized membranes with gap junctions and seen in the heart muscle cells and certain smooth muscle cells, which are synchronized electrically in an action potential. That's what a syncytium is. Now I want you to go to the next slide. Syncytium is going to be the key, and it's important that people understand what this is. Now I want you to scroll down the slides until you get to placenta. Syncytium in pregnancy is used to create skeletal muscle, you'll see here, heart muscle, smooth muscle. You'll see osteoclasts, which are bone forming. And then at the bottom, you'll see placenta. And the syncytium is what the mom's body has that helps to create and maintain a placenta. Syncytium, when a baby is fertilized or an egg is fertilized by sperm, the egg then floats to the uterus and will connect to the uterine wall for implantation. And syncytium, this substance here, acts like Velcro and sticks the placenta to the uterus wall. And syncytium does a few things. It not only connects the placenta to the uterus wall, syncytium also creates blood vessels to bring nutrients to the baby. So it gets air, water, and food through the blood supply. Then syncytium, as you see highlighted there, it's important for the placenta. It also protects the baby, syncytium does, from allowing the mom's white blood cells' immune system. It keeps it from actually crossing the blood-brain, the blood-placental barrier to injure the baby. The mom actually sees the baby as a foreign DNA. It doesn't have all the mom's DNA. It's got the dad's DNA too. It will actually attack it and kill it if syncytium doesn't keep the immune system from sending white blood cells across to the placenta. So that's its job, is to protect the baby and provide nutrients and attachment to the placenta. That's the syncytium's job. In this presentation, we also will show you, syncytium is responsible for creating what are called syncytiotrophoblasts. Syncytiotrophoblasts, in the presentations I highlight, its job throughout the entire pregnancy is to actually release HCG hormone and progesterone to simply maintain the pregnancy for the whole term. If you don't have syncytium signaling to syncytiotrophoblast, you can't make progesterone and you cannot make HCG to maintain the pregnancy. And you'll see here, embryo-derived cells that form the interface of the maternal bloodstream fuse together to form a multinucleated barrier. Syncytiotrophoblast. Please go to the next slide. People, so here's your syncytiotrophoblast. It's the epithelial covering of the highly vascular embryonic placental villi, which invades the wall of the uterus to establish nutrient circulation between the embryo and the mother. Next slide. And you'll see syncytiotrophoblast is on the right side of the screen. This is just a drawing to illustrate the amniotic cavity where the baby will grow. And then the syncytiotrophoblast over there on the right, connecting the placenta to the uterine wall. Next slide. I love showing people things. I don't want to just make stuff up. So syncytiotrophoblast, it's the outer layer of the trophoblast. Next slide. You'll see. We'll keep going. This is the trophoblast. And just keep going. It's the outer layer of cells. It's great. All right. So it activates. Yeah, you'll see here. This is important for the immune system to protect the baby, as I mentioned earlier. Next slide. You're doing great. Everybody can get this at home. You should show this to all your OBGYNs. All of them. The syncytiotrophoblast. Progesterone is created by syncytiotrophoblast. And down here on the screen, you'll see it serves to maintain the integrity of the uterine lining. When you lose the ability of syncytiotrophoblast to be made or to release progesterone, the placenta pulls away from the uterus wall. Now the baby gets no blood supply, no nutrients. Guess what happens to the baby? It dies. And then you're going to actually release the baby in a miscarriage. Therefore, it is absolutely required. Syncytium creates syncytiotrophoblast to keep the placenta attached to the uterus wall. It's like the Velcro or the glue that keeps it there. When you destroy syncytium, it separates and you will lose the baby. Next slide. So here's your syncytial trophoblast again, and it says here the function of syncytial trophoblast, it requires a cell called syncytin. You see it highlighted there, syncytin 1. Now, syncytin is something Judy Mikovits has been screaming nonstop since my Watch the Water documentary dropped. She's like, it is syncytin that the snake venom-like proteins are going to target, destroy to cause miscarriages. She says this all the time and shows it. Next slide. Syncytin is a key, just like she's mentioned. Syncytin is a cell-to-cell fusion protein. Its function is best characterized in placenta development. The placenta, in turn, aids in embryo attachment to the uterus and establishment of a nutrient supply. You have to have syncytin, and you have to have syncytium to create syncytiotrophoblast, and you need syncytin to make this whole thing work, to grow to full term a baby in utero. All right, now I want you to keep going. Go to the next slide. We'll skip this one. But I want you to see this. This is syncytiotrophoblast. I highlighted it here. When I said they are required to maintain a pregnancy, you'll see on the right where I highlighted, their job is to secrete HCG in order to maintain progesterone secretion and sustain a pregnancy. We're seeing 80%+ of pregnancies being lost now. Guess what needs to be destroyed? You need to destroy syncytium, syncytin, and syncytiotrophoblast. And then you will lose every baby that has these instructions to do just that, or the toxin or the venom to do it in the shots. All right, keep going. We'll skip this one. We'll go to the next one. Yep, keep going. You're actually going to get down to, here you go. Here's an image of where the uterine wall and the placenta are attached, the blood supply, where trophoblasts are. This is just for imagery, but I want you to skip down to like 56. Go skip down to where I have the animal venom peptide research paper. Now you're in the paper right now, which is great. So I want you to go to like slide 56. This is scorpion venoms. You'll see here highlighted here. You guys will have this entire presentation. Here we go with snake venom. Stay right here. All right, so they're proposing snake venoms to be antiviral vaccines. And they say here that snake venoms are composed of a mixture of protein peptides, 90 to 95% of them. I want you to keep going. They propose venoms to be antiviral vaccines because they have found already snake venoms are good to fight measles, Sindy virus, dengue virus, yellow fever virus, and HIV. How many of you knew they were already doing this? They're already using in HIV patients, which is supposedly a virus, they're already injecting some HIV patients with snake venoms. They actually say it right here in this paragraph. Let's keep going. I want to get to the point, these are studies where they're actually confirming snake venoms can be used as an effective antiviral vaccine or agent or drug. All right, next slide. I want you to keep going. Thus, snake venoms are sources of promising candidates for new viral vaccines. That's what that just said, which is ridiculous. All right, I want you to stay right there. Go back. Right here. These substances are called L-amino acid oxidases. They are found in snake venom, and they are actually proposed to be antiviral components. And it says here that L-amino acid oxidases cause, you can read it right here, causes cell death called apoptosis, cytotoxicity, inhibition, or induction of platelet aggregation. How much blood clots have you seen reported the last few years with these COVID shots? Hemorrhaging. How many women are hemorrhaging right now? Hemolysis and edema, swelling, as well as, they say, L-amino acid oxidases from snake venom are also anti-HIV, antimicrobial, and antiparasitic. Next slide. Inside of this one snake called Trimeresurus stenegri, this snake venom, LAO, as you see abbreviated, seems to be the first snake venom, LAO, reported to present antiviral activity. Next slide. This LAO is very important for miscarriages, by the way. Next slide. Keep going. Wait, go back. Right there. This L-amino acid oxidase, it says, inhibits HIV-1's infection and replication in a dose-dependent manner. That means the more of this venom we inject inside of HIV patients, the less HIV infection they have. And then it says it seems to act at nanomolar concentrations, very small amounts, by inhibiting syncytium formation. Okay. They published here. This is when I was flying back from Puerto Rico, and I was like, oh, holy crap, they're mentioning in venom research. They know venoms they propose to be antiviral vaccines and antiviral drugs. They know it can destroy and inhibit syncytium formation. I just showed you. Syncytium is required to maintain a pregnancy, and syncytium is required to make syncytiotrophoblast. That would make progesterone and HCG to maintain a pregnancy. They know this will do that. Everyone at home who has lost a baby in pregnancy, I'll go back. That test kit everyone needs to see, go back. This test is the test you can buy and any OBGYN can order for their pregnant women having a hard time maintaining their pregnancy or has lost their baby after the COVID-19 shots. There's a way of testing whether or not there's L-amino acid oxidase in your patients. And if there is, it says right there, I highlighted it. You can simply do this test with urine or with a blood sample called serum. And if you find high amounts of L-amino acid oxidase, you know it was injected inside of you. How else did it get there? And it inhibits syncytium formation. Every OBGYN, please, every single woman or couple who has lost a baby after getting the COVID-19 shots and are having a hard time getting fertile ever again or maintaining a pregnancy, please do this test. If it comes back positive, you know why. And then we need to go actually figure out how to detox you, which we're already putting together. And then we need to start holding these drug companies accountable because this was an outright assault against fertility. What did Bill Gates say in his TEDx talk in 2010 or 11? He said, in order to solve climate change, we need to reduce the population of the earth by 10 to 15%. And then he turns and looks at the crowd and he says, we know we can do this with vaccines. He knows they can control fertility outcomes with vaccines. And what in the world are pharmaceutical companies looking all around the world for? Venom-based vaccines. Now that clip you played, James, please keep this on the screen. That clip you played from 2019 with Anthony Fauci in it, talking about vaccines. In this presentation that all your audience will now have, there's a guy named Paul F. Reed. And if we could show his slide, go to that slide. You'll see a picture of a man with a company called Celtic Biotech. Actually, and stay right here. Go back up one slide, please. This is the paper on venoms from scorpions, frogs, and marine shell creatures. I want to read this to you. This is 2017. Before this pandemic, it says preventative and curative measures should always be in the hands of health officials all around the world to control out epidemics, such as the recent Ebola virus in Africa or arboviruses, particularly in Brazil, represented by the dengue, chikungunya, and Zika viruses. And James, read the next three words. Or venom-based vaccines could be
used. Pandemics such as influenza and HIV.
Yep. Now let's read the very next statement. Go to the next slide. The very ending conclusion reads, therefore, prospection, looking for, screening, and all other phases of biological activity, validation, clinical development of animal venom peptides represents an essential scientific investment for protecting and perpetuating humankind.
Really? Yeah, right. Brian, really? We got to take our last break. We're going to come back. I'm going to play the 2 minutes of that video you found because that is fascinating. And then we'll talk a little bit more about Dr. Brian Artis's Jack miscarriages. This is a huge story. And we've got 2 years of evidence now, and it's crystal clear what the deep state's doing. Very horrible. A word from response. We'll be right back with our last video, which is, you got to watch it. Virus recruits guts bacteria.
Did you know that there is a community of human beings that live to be well over 100 years old? It's true. The Hunza people live to be anywhere between 120 to 140 years old. Their secret? Vitamin B17. At Richardson Nutrition Center, founder John Richardson and his family have made it their mission to add vitamin B17 back into the human diet. Vitamin B17 is found in over 1,200 foods in nature and has been gradually eliminated from the human diet throughout the past 100 years. Over the past 20 years, our products have helped customers with immune support, energy, heart health, and much more. At Richardson Nutrition Center, we have developed a product line to easily incorporate B17 back into your diet. Use your special American Media Periscope code AMP888 to receive 15% off your first order at rncstore.com.
Hey friends, Dr. Michelle and I are not celebrity doctors. You probably won't see us interviewed by Oprah, but we see wonderful results in the lives of our patients every single day. We see results.
While most medical practices are focused on managing your symptoms, we help you find the root cause and find healing with proven and natural solutions. Will you take 12 seconds and go to Sherwood.tv and join our free newsletter? We'll keep you up to date on new interviews and practical tips for hope and health. Visit Sherwood.tv and subscribe.
Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world, but in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks, and the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD at 720-605-3900. Who do you trust? And should you? The small, untrustworthy group of people who own and control almost every industry hope you will not even entertain the questions, let alone put in the time to explore the answers. These two volumes of The World Awakens are an encyclopedia of trusted sources who give their honest overview of our real history, the world today, and what lies ahead. Get The World Awakens, Volume 1 and 2, signed by author John Michael Chambers, for only $50 each. Or bundle the two and add Genocide Jab, all three signed hardbacks for $120. Order today at ampnews.us. For unsigned and all other formats, visit Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
And of course, the gut symptoms persisted. It was at that point that we realized we need to look at stool samples. It was found in sewage. And I couldn't understand why a virus found in sewage was not tracked backwards to the gastrointestinal tract where it arose and to figure out what it was doing there. And so we managed to contact Carlo Brogner, who's done some very interesting work on coronavirus. What he basically discovered with looking at stool samples was that the virus was replicating somehow in these stool samples, and the stools had toxins, protein-based toxins in them. He found with incubation of the supernatant of this sample on fresh, uninfected stool that the viral titer rose exponentially, and so the toxins as well. And so he proved bacteriophage activity, that this virus has the ability to infect the bacteria of your gut. And he found toxicities there, toxin-like peptides, which were akin to many different kinds of snake venoms, sea snail poisons, starfish poisons, and it's a wonder how those got there. We don't have a virus that infects human beings and bacteria, so it has multiple hosts, and it can, I think when we look at the symptoms we see with long COVID and tie it up with protein-based toxins that we are aware of, they work in a variety of ways. Neurotoxicity, we've seen the nerve damage. Hemotoxicity, we've seen the blood damage and the clots and the strokes. We've seen the cytotoxicity. And so that ties in very well with this little virus that can do this broad range of things. It seems to recruit the bacteria in your gut to help it do that in a small percentage of patients. And so it became pertinent to try and kill off those bacteria causing the problem with antibiotics, a purge of the gut to clean it out, and to restore the gut with new probiotics that can grow and thrive without the COVID infection.
It seems to recruit gut bacteria. Brian, that's an amazing line right there.
Yeah, it is great, because on your show earlier, we actually showed how genetic engineering is a term, or biological engineering, is how they actually get bacteria, yeast, and mammal cells to replicate or manufacture venom peptides. which we've talked about the Italy study that actually was published in 2021. In Italy, they found 36 different venom proteins found in every COVID patient's blood and feces. And this guy just mentions that's what was found in these stool samples of long hauler COVID patients was snake venom peptides replicating in bacteria with starfish venom and sea snail venom. Now, on what's on the screen, though, is very important. I want you to go back. During the break, I made sure you guys show this. I just want you to know that around the world, we're going to be confirming now that venom is a part of the COVID-19 narrative. But I've been called a conspiracy nut sometimes. You just need to know this is very obvious what they're using. Everyone needs to know who Paul Reed is. He owns a company called Celtic Biotech. I want you to show his biography. Go to the next slide. I'm going to read the blue highlighted part, but just before that, it starts the sentence. From 1993 to 1996, Dr. Reed was employed by the United States Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, Maryland. By the way, I showed this to Judy Mikovits. She freaked out because that was her first place of employment. Research Institute. That's where she worked, in Fort Detrick. Under a grant 30 years ago, James, 1993. 30 years ago, under a grant from the National Research Council in Washington, D.C., under the grant, he was responsible for expression and purification of a variety of neuroactive components, neurotoxins, from snake venom in bacteria and yeast systems, and purification of the expressed material, which was venom, with expansion to what, James?
I can't read. Go ahead.
With the expansion to large-scale vaccine production. Not small-scale, large-scale vaccine production. Just so you know, Paul F. Reed, did he actually figure out how to do this under the grant? The next slide actually shows he has a company also called ReceptoPharm. You'll see the highlighted invention was patented for Paul F. Reed and Lawrence N. Raymond in 2010. You see the dates there. Read the first sentence, next slide. They detoxified, they said, cobra venom, king cobra venom, and its constituent neurotoxins have been reported to have potential antiviral activity. Next slide, you'll see the last sentence in that summary. It also has the potential application, king cobra venom, neurotoxins, has the application to act as a method to protect individuals from contagious infectious agents as a substitute for antiviral vaccines. All right. I want you all to pay attention.
Yeah.
30 years ago, we started funding a guy at Fort Detrick, Maryland to make large-scale production in bacteria and yeast systems, neurotoxins of snake venoms for large-scale vaccine production against viruses. Everybody should be very leery of all vaccines moving forward. They're going to be venom-based.
Everywhere. And you're right. Miscarriages, Brian. Great talking to you. I want to see if Paul Reed's alive or not. So I'm going to do some of my own research tonight. Off the show. We cut short, but we're going to put Dr. Brian Harris's deck on the website, on the show notes at AMP Media, so go there, right? I'll see you tomorrow night. I got a special guest, Kat James. I got Josh Reed in. We're going to dive deep into all the military aspects, and we're going to talk about the war and health with Kat James. She's a phenomenal guest, and we got 107 on Friday. Everyone have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow.